You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We live, pal. Wrap it, Jose.
I see him.
Jose, are you?
I'm right here. You can't. Can you guys hear me now?
Now we hear you.
Now.
Well, I was like doing the intro, and then all of a sudden it said I was muted, and then I disappeared, and I have no idea what happened. Anyway, the wonders of live television. Wouldn't it be the A side to close out 2020 if we didn't have technical difficulties already. Anyway, I am, of course, your host, Jose Youngs, here with MMAfighting.com, here for the final episode of the A-Side Live Chat of this ill-fated year, 2020. So, because it's the last year, we decided to do one giant-sized episode of the A-Side. Joining us this week, I'll start at the bottom, Mike. First, a few questions. How's Christmas? How's the little
Christmas
one's
is good.
Christmas? How's the little one's Christmas?
Excellent.
So he was good. And how's the weather in miserable, cold, rainy New England?
I think you checked off a lot of those boxes. It is cold. It is windy. It feels every bit of winter as you would expect it to be. But next week, it's supposed to be like in the 40s, maybe even low 50s all week around here. So
wow.
Who knows? Classic New England week and New England weather. You just never know.
Yeah, I talked to my dad on Christmas, and he was explaining the flood warnings to me as a cat runs across Alex's screen. Yeah, he was explaining the flood warning because it snowed, rained, blah, blah, blah. I don't wish those days upon anyone. But anyway, Alex and Casey, how's life in, what do you call it, locked down California?
I don't know. Oh, see, he's got an Esther running in his background.
Yeah.
Chaos over here. No, we had a great rainstorm a few days ago, and I was like, PJ and I like canceled, I mean, whatever plans we had to, I don't know, go work out or whatever, ordered a pizza, enjoyed it fully. I was like, God, I can't believe how much I missed like a proper rainy day. It was amazing.
Was that your first rain day of Southern California?
Yeah, well, okay, it rained the day we moved in April, and I don't think it's rained since. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Texas, so like, I mean, I was used to these giant thunderstorms, but after you live in LA for like a month, if it's drizzles, yeah. No, you hide.
Yeah.
nothing happens. Like, the city shuts down. Cars are slipping and sliding everywhere. People are like it's madness.
For driving, I don't know. Okay, so I'm from Chicago, from a big city. I'm used to driving in chaos, but the drivers in California, like, do they take driver's ed here? I am.
No. No.
What the heck when goes I moved, on when here?
When I moved to Los Angeles in 2016, it was a lightning storm the day I was moving. So like when I was unloading everything, it was lightning and rain. And there were two car accidents outside my new apartment at the time. And I was like, the LA is great. I was told it's always sunny. I was told it's bad traffic. And all I've seen is rain and car crashes in like the first 2 hours I moved here. We get rain like once a year in Arizona too. And the dirt from the desert doesn't absorb all the water. So we get massive floods.
Yeah, flash floods.
It floods immediately and the world falls apart. But anyway.
Like Alex, how exciting was it when you saw lightning?
I didn't even see it. I didn't see the lightning. There was hail, and the hail looked like snow after a while because it was all starting to pile up. And I was like, this is wild. I love it, though. Yeah. Can't wait till the next one in, 6 months?
A couple years.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first moved, when I moved and had that lightning storm, someone was like, remember that huge drought like years ago, Casey? Where like no matter what, you take public transportation, like there would be signs saying like, save water and this and that. That was the first like rainstorm in like 8 months, and it happened to be the day I moved. So I didn't believe the drought even happened. Anyway, no one cares about that. You guys know the drill. You guys can ask questions in the chat, Twitter, the comment section, whatever you want. I've been playing Cyberpunk nonstop. Ask me about Cyberpunk. Someone asked me about Cyberpunk. Without further ado, Casey, what is our first question from our lovely listeners?
First question.
Dustin v. Connor v. COVID. With more contagious strains of COVID popping up, what are the chances that this fight stays together? Should the UFC institute a mandatory bubble for pay-per-view main event fighters and their teams? Otherwise, I suspect you're going to see a lot of fights fall out in the first half of 2021. Also, who should replace Khamzat to fight Edwards, Magny, Chiesa, Holland, someone else? So, yes, to start, we'll start with the second half of the question, because for those of you who aren't aware or don't follow MMA Fighting's news cycle, Khamzat Chimaev is out of his fight against Leon Edwards. It came out this morning that he was suffering from – well, he hasn't fully recovered from having COVID. His lungs haven't recovered. So he is no longer fighting Leon Edwards on – was that the Wednesday card? Yeah, that was the Wednesday card. So he's no longer fighting on the Wednesday card of Fight Island. We'll start with there, and then we'll go from there. Mike, I'll start with you. If you had to pick, who should Leon Edwards fight in replace of Khamzat Chimaev?
I think for Leon, he'd probably want the higher-ranked guy out of all of them, so that would be Michael Chiesa. I'd probably go that route if I was him. Neil Magny, it just seems simple that it should be one of those two guys because they're already going to be there anyways. They're already on that card, so you just bump one of them up. And then you still have to figure out which 70 fighter you're going to bring in to fight whoever gets the bump up. So I could see Chiesa being the guy. I could also see Magny being the guy. But if I'm Leon Edwards, obviously the Chimaev fight had way back. So if he decided that I want to wait for Chimaev to come back and take that risk, I don't think I would blame him. But I think at this point, after being out for so long, it's been a year and a half at this point, the guy just needs to get in there and fight. So I think the correct answer is anybody, like literally anybody who's available that could get him in there just to compete and get some reps in, just fight and go from there.
If it is Michael Chiesa, I wouldn't hate if they just turned around and booked Magny versus Chimaev like later down the road, considering Magny's been asking for that show the whole time. Anyway, Alex Casey, which one of the two welterweights would you be most intrigued to see Khamzat Leon Edwards fight?
Go ahead, Casey.
No, you go.
Do you need a minute? Okay. No, I agree with Mike. I mean, look, I just feel so bad for Leon Edwards, and at this point, it's got to be worth his time. So I'm hoping for Chiesa 100%. He deserves the higher ranked guy. I mean, I think we were all kind of like, what the heck? When the Chimaev talk started, we were all like, Leon Edwards deserves better than this. So I'm not on the Leon Edwards, like, Chimaev. I'm not heartbroken that fight broke out, because I really hope that this just ends up working out in Leon Edwards' favor, because he just deserves it at this point.
Casey?
Neither. You rip up a contract that just got signed, and you get Kevin Holland on a plane.
A middleweight?
Kevin Holland's not a middleweight.
He what? Moving He's down. Ranked middleweight.
Yeah, he's ranked middleweight, but he's a welterweight.
I don't. I think that would. Kevin, that's Kevin the one is, I would want to see the least.
Is he absolutely not fighting welterweight anymore?
Has he ever fought welterweight in the UFC? He's 0-0 in the UFC, isn't he?
He's fought welterweight.
In the UFC?
Not New Year's Eight, but he's mentioned about finding welterweight, so probably might catch
it. I guess.
Not a lot of time.
If I'm Leon Edwards,
That's his thing. That's his thing. I'm Mr. Short Notice, man. Come on, boo. Shamaya, he's not short notice. I'm Kevin Holland.
If I'm Leon Edwards, I want to fight a ranked welterweight, not a ranked middleweight.
Chiesa and Magny have fights. I hate ripping fights apart. That's BS. And those guys, that's an excellent fight. So unless you can't get a ranked guy this quick. It's just not unless you get a ranked 55er who wants to come up to 70. You know, so maybe a 55er is looking for a fight. That's a name.
But now we're just giving Leon Edwards the bottom of the barrel again.
That's what happens, man. Shamaya should have fought in Vegas. I mean, well, I guess he was already sick then. Who knows? I guess from
What about the BMF champion?
Yeah, BMF champion doesn't just fight anyone any day.
I'd love that fight.
Of course, but
that's the worst thing that's happened in the welterweight division. That title. Yes.
I want Kevin Holland to fight everyone every week. Like, if Shamaya isn't going to be the guy, let's have Kevin Holland do it. Have Edwards go up to meet at 175.
I would say it would have to be – it's not going to be a 170 if Kevin Holland's going to be in there.
Of course.
It would have to be like – it have to be a catch weight, like 175, something in that neck of the woods. And it would have to be something that was decided, like, yesterday if that was going to be the case, because Kevin's a big guy. Like, he's not, like, 220 or anything like that, but still, I mean, he's still going to have to cut to 175 maybe. That's a pretty good cut for him, I would assume. So, yeah, I'd like to see it. I feel like he'd be a good option, but I feel like a lot of things would need to happen for that to be the case. Plus, he's got a big main event fight with Derek Brunson now, scheduled in March, and I know that seems like a long time for a guy like Kevin Holland, but I mean, if they did it and could agree on a catch weight, I'm down.
What about Luque? They fought before, right? What about Vicente Luque? He could fight. Like, he's the highest ranked guy that doesn't have a fight right now, or I'm looking outside the top five. Well, Stephen Thompson's on a fight, but didn't he get hurt? Like, he got hurt in the ear, but he's not in for a while.
And with all the traveling to Fight Island, like, that causes even – that just causes a lot more problems, you know, a lot more hurdles to jump. Mm-hmm. I don't think Edwards is fighting. I think he's – I just don't – unless he's going to fight just, you know, some rando who trains out of Abu Dhabi MMA sport gym. I don't know.
Or that's why the Magny-Chiesa fight made so much sense, because they're both going to be there. So, like, you pull one of them and then even throw, Luque in.
Edwards gets screwed. Someone gets screwed. That's all. Like, that means Magny. If Magny fights Edwards, that means Kess is fighting a rando. You know, that's a rando, and that's not no equal ranking. So.
I think Tyron Woodley would be an interesting option. Like, talk about a guy who would, like, need. I mean, I don't think he would on the shorter notice, but talk about a guy that would just be like, I really need a win. Not only that, but to get it against a guy like Leon Edwards, and they were supposed to fight in March anyways. Imagine if he just stepped up and said, you know what, just give him to me. I'll do it. That works. But again, that's, you know, to lose another fight for Tyron Woodley, that wouldn't be good. But still, the risk would be worth the reward, in my opinion.
So, yeah, you're right. Kevin Holland hasn't fought welterweight in like 3 years, so so I don't know. I mean, but he was a welterweight, so I don't know, because he's taking all these short notice fights. I don't know, has Kevin Holland said I just won't fight welterweight, or is it just more I just need more time?
I think he called out fighters at welterweight, but that's because he was just looking. He was just looking for, like, if you watch the last press conference he was at in Vegas, I brought up that, and he goes, he just says stuff to try and pick a fight. He just wanted big names. He didn't necessarily want to go to welterweight. He just wanted a big name, which is why he called on Mickey Gall, because he would beat him. People know who he is. But then at the time. That was also his first fight. That was the Jacksonville card that called him out. And he still said, he goes, I'll fight him, but it'll probably have to be a 175. I can't make 170.
Okay. I was making sure I just wasn't out of my mind when I was thinking Holland at welterweight. He has mentioned welterweights before. Okay.
Anyway. Oh, but there was also a first part question.
Oh.
Should there be a bubble for main events? There should be a bubble for all the fighters in 2021. We joked when we were on Fight Island
What does he mean by bubble? Does he mean bubble on Fight Island or bubble during training camps? Because that's when these guys are getting COVID, during their training camps.
Probably both, I would say. Like, if the UFC has their... If everyone wants to go to the Apex and just live there, great. But that's probably not feasible for these fighters. We also joked on the last Fight Island card that if Conor fought on the next Fight Island card, we couldn't imagine he'd want to stay in the hotel with all the other fighters just because so many people have issues with the guy or they're, I don't know. We joked that he would probably just bring his yacht and sleep there because it's right on the body of water, like sleep on the yacht and then go ashore to train. And the more I thought about it, the more that's probably going to – I've convinced myself that's probably going to happen.
I really wish I really wish we could talk to a reporter that was on the – that was in the NBA bubble. I want to talk to someone who lived that life because that seemed very successful, obviously very expensive. But if the UFC – if that – you know, the question was, you know, a bubble, you know, and, like, I'm assuming this bubble needs to last more than just fight week. Because, like, maybe like two, mm-hmm. 3 weeks out. And that's going to be very expensive because just fighters don't make – like, I don't know who's going to pay for it. And the UFC, I don't think UFC is willing to pay for it if they can just keep replacing fighters all the time.
Have you read the stories of the people coming from the NBA bubble?
No.
Like the players?
People that – so, like, the players and reporters, especially, like, if you – like, LeBron and the Lakers and then the Miami Heat, they stayed the entire time. Because they went to the championship. And reporters, commentators, like those guys, they stayed there. I think it was Jeff Van Gundy, who I can't remember if he has the head coaching position now. As soon as the bubble ended, he was like one of the commentators. He just got in his car and drove like 18 hours straight as soon as the bubble snapped and was on the phone with like a therapist, like a psychiatrist, because it was so just mentally, like, you lose track of time, reality, everything being there. And I was only in the bubble for 5 weeks, and like week four, I was like, I can't. This is nuts. I can't handle this right now. And then the Khabib fight week started happening, and it got really busy, and I was fine. But I can't even fathom the NBA because it's like every other day you're seeing, like, and the bubble's getting smaller and smaller in terms of people because they leave once their season is over. So I would love to speak to a reporter, but they probably – I don't know. I know some reporters had to, like, talk to therapists and stuff as soon as it was over. What helped a lot, too, is because I think the bubble had a limited number of people that were allowed to be in there for the NBA bubble. So there was, like, a maximum. So when players were eliminated and they left, if your team survived long enough, you got to a point where there was enough space to bring in family members, but it was only like two at a time, I think. So like if you made like the conference finals, like say the Lakers made the conference finals, like LeBron could bring his wife and his son in, but like that was it. But then there was this whole thing like reporters couldn't, like employees of the team couldn't. So like the physical therapist for the Lakers couldn't bring their like significant other in. There was a whole thing, but like if you hit a certain point in the bubble, you could start bringing people in, but I don't know. I don't know the exact details. I hope that answered the question.
Long time commenter
Joseph Boza. Habib said in an interview that he is not the UFC lightweight champion. He thinks the winner of Dustin is Conor 2 should be the new champ. Why is there at least not an interim title on the line? So I think to clarify, because a lot of things got lost in translation, I think Habib actually said the winner of this fight should fight for the lightweight title. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So whoever wins between Dustin versus Conor should fight someone for the vacant title. That's what he said, not that this fight should be for the championship. I know that's what John Kavanaugh said. So no interim titles, please. In a perfect world, I think we all agree there should be some kind of final four, like Conor v. Dustin, and then maybe Chandler v. Gaethje, winners fight each other, something like that. I don't really care who's in the tournament, but tournaments, you can't argue with tournaments.
Yeah,
tournaments.
Yeah, tournaments.
Is that a Rhode Island accent?
Yeah. No, I have no idea where that came from. I say tournaments.
I've been saying tournaments. Tournament.
Yeah. Well, it's because like I don't know. Like you go on a band goes on a tour. tournament. That's just how my see the word, and I how I say it. You don't go on a tur. You know, I also say almond, and I don't know where that came from because that's not.
Oh, that's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong.
Say almond milk, almond butter, bag of almonds. Don't know where that came from.
I mean, it's true. Anyway. It's not. Paul Simon had a song. It wasn't called "You Can Call Me All." It was "Call Me Al." So almond. Oh. I get where you're coming. I see it. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. Oh, I also call them pecans, not pecans.
That could go either way.
I say both work.
Pecan pie. Yeah, it's pecan.
Pecan pie, but then if you're talking about just the pecan, it's different.
I just say pecan, just and when I say it, I think of Danny DeVito's character saying pecan Sandy's in It's Always Sunny when he tries to come up with a team name.
So wait, so did a Russian website, they didn't translate, they mistranslated it into English, I assume? Is that because we're all based everything on like, RT Sport?
Something like that. And then Ali Abdelaziz, Habib's manager, clarified, and then a bunch of other people clarified too. So I think the official word that Habib says is the winner of this fight should fight for an eventual title, which I don't think anyone would disagree, right?
No. If they made this a title fight, I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't
be that offended by it. I mean, that's why we knew Conor was fighting Cowboy. So whatever is next, he's eligible, you know, to fight for the title. So, but Habib's retired. So happy trails, Habib.
I don't think he said it yet, Casey. So.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, my bad.
Kevin Holland's trash talk from T. Gordon 1982. I think he also sent a bunch of Twitter questions too. So like this is the Tristan Gordon show. To MMA fighting, where do you rate Kevin Holland's trash talk? It's got to be up there in my opinion with the likes of Conor, Dom, and Izzy. He was able to create beef with Derek Brunson, and the next thing you know, the UFC grants them their wish, and the two are booked to fight on March 6th. Also, what do you think about the matchup itself? Thanks for everything. Really enjoy the show. So, first part, where do you rank Kevin Holland's trash talk? I'll start with Alex. How would you compare it to Conor? Dom, I assume Dominic Cruz and Izzy.
Okay. I haven't been paying that much attention to Kevin Holland's trash talk, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if he's really said anything that has crossed the line. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but Conor has definitely crossed the line. Izzy's definitely crossed the line. I'm not too familiar with Dominic Cruz's trash talk, but so in my opinion, that puts Kevin Holland's trash talk level above the others because he hasn't crossed that line. And I hope that he doesn't, because you know, you can't come back from those things. So in my opinion, Kevin Holland, the others.
Number one.
I think Dominic Cruz and Cody got pretty aggressive at times. Dude, they were talking about like, yeah, they were talking about like, you didn't grow up with a dad and you didn't grow up with a dad either. And I was like, this is odd trash talk.
Cross the line.
Dude, Dominic and Uriah was.
Yeah, Dominic they were bad too.
Dominic was so brutal to Uriah. Like, just like hurt his feelings. Like, it was
or
bad.
Do you remember they did the sit down with TJ and Dominic? And Dominic was just talking and TJ was just like sitting there, looked like just not even responding, but Dominic was just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. I don't hate any of these people's trash talking, just because with these people specifically, including Kevin Holland, that's how they always are, and that's how they are out of the octagon too. Conor, Dom, obviously they say stuff I wish they didn't, but I don't have a problem with most of what they said. Kevin Holland's, I asked Kevin Holland this in Jacksonville, who he thinks the best trash talker in the UFC is ever, and he said Conor. So Kevin Holland thinks it's Conor. All agree with Kevin Holland. Mike, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, Conor kind of made it cool, didn't he? Like the UFC and
Chael
MMA.
Yeah,
Chael made it. Chael made it cool. Like Chael laid down the foundation for it, but Conor took it to another level. Like he was able to bring that more to more ears. You know what I mean? Like more people paid attention than Chael, and Chael was great at it too. So I would say like those two guys are like 1A and 1B. But Kevin Holland is great, man. He's been like that his entire career. Pre UFC, you know, winning fights, losing fights. He's the same guy. He's always been like that. He's so quick witted, And to me, he comes from like a long line of trash talking Hollands. Like
I interviewed Kevin Holland before his like one of his short notice fights, and he's on the bus going to virtual media day, and he's wearing a mask of him smacking Joaquin Buckley in the face that his grandfather made him. So clearly there's this is a generational trash talking family. Like, they all know how to get under people's skins and be quick witted. So I thought that was like an A+ thing right there. I'm like, what is on this mask? And he said it was the silhouette of him slapping Joaquin Buckley in the face. I'm like, oh my God, that is just unbelievable. So, he's right up there.
How Rick Rude of him to wear his opponent's face on his own attire. What was the next part of the question? What do we think about the fight? I mean, I love the fight. I also think Derek Brunson's one of these guys that is just down to fight. Like, he goes, I'll fight. He also – didn't Derek Brunson also call out Kevin Holland? And Kevin Holland was like, great. So I think they both made this fight happen.
There's a story between these two guys that right. Kevin Holland has talked about. Apparently they met once before, and – Kevin didn't like the way Derek spoke to him, and he never forgot it. So he was planting seeds all year. It was Derek Holland, Mike Perry, Marvin Vittori. Like, those are the guys Hamzat. That he's like planting seeds for.
You could just look at Kevin Holland wrong, or not even wrong. In his mind, he convinces himself it's wrong, and that's enough to motivate him. I think it's awesome. Michael Jordan did the same thing. He would just concoct these scenarios that would create – stir issues in his mind. Awesome, cool, gets me interested in a fight. Also, I think the fight just makes sense in general. I wish it was sooner, but is what it is.
Yeah, that kind booking a fight for Kevin Holland 3 months away, kind of, that's not what Kevin Holland's about. Come on, he became number two fighter of the year, almost fighter of the year if Moreno got that decision, and all based on fighting what, like every 30 seconds. So, 3 months away is ridiculous.
It happens, man. Ooh. Once you, we all said it. Once he beat Jacare, it's like, wow, now that's, he can't.
Always, man. Always. Like, you get all these fights. Like, Hamzat, once he actually beat a guy who we've heard
Izzy
of.
Izzy was the same way. Didn't he fight like 4 or 5 times his first year? And now he fights like twice a year? It also, travel restrictions to New Zealand hurts that too. But
right.
But then you get guys like John Jones and Ronda who would defend their titles like every 3-4 months.
And so, then John disappears and Ronda retires. Like, it's just like they go in these streaks, mm-hmm. so they go, I got to make some money. Got to fight every day. Then I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Holland, underrated trash talker. Conor McGregor just says whatever sells.
Gerardo at JC Dulos 1 on Twitter. Also, I think he's responding to a question from his another question. Yeah. Do you think Masvidal is losing fans because he seems to be getting picky with fights? # the A-side. I think he's losing fans for a lot of reasons, and I think that's one of them. I think that's part of it. Mike, what do you say?
People just want to see a fight. I mean, it is what it is. Like, the guy stepped in on like day's notice, traveled to Abu Dhabi, cut a bunch of weight, and saved a title fight. So I will give him a pass on taking some time off, because I mean, the fight didn't go his way. I still felt like his stock rose despite losing that fight, and I still feel like there's questions that I have, especially like casual viewers who say, if Masvidal had like a full camp to prepare for Usman, like, could he beat him? They were impressed enough in those first two rounds to think that Masvidal could do it. And that's what you got to do. And that's what makes you a star. Like, you can lose and your stock can still rise. And that's what happened with Masvidal. So I think not fighting Leon Edwards, I think people got over that pretty quickly. But at this point, I think you just got to go in there and fight Colby, get it out of the way, win or lose. You move on with life, and we can just put this whole crazy feud behind us, because we dealt with this Colby Woodley feud forever, and now it's Colby Masvidal. Like, let's just make this fight. If you win, you're a hero, you're a god amongst men for a lot of Colby haters. If you lose, so what? You're still a star, and you can still fight Nate or still fight other guys. So I don't think he's losing fans, but I think he needs to book something pretty soon.
Alex, is Masvidal losing fans?
No, I think MMA fans tend to be quite loyal to those that they I don't want to use this word, but to those that they stand. And right now, Masvidal is just out of sight, out of mind. But as soon as he comes back and he's got a fight announcement and he's back in the headlines, it's going to come back to exactly where he was. And right now, the only time we've heard from him is about, you know, his political leanings or whatever. And I'm obviously not going to get into that, but that's all we've heard from him. But as soon as we start getting back into the fight talk and the fight game, then it's going to go back to exactly how it was. It's just out of sight, out of mind.
I think he's definitely lost some fans.
Hell yeah.
I think it's his political reasons, his anti-mask reasons, him kind of thinking the election was rigged, his thinking that COVID is a hoax, which a lot of people obviously agree with. So I think it's a big combination of not fighting, people seeing him tweeting but not fighting. I think a lot of people are tweeting for him, not using his Twitter. I mean, like, people will chime in his inner circle and kind of give reasons why he's not fighting, and we're not hearing them directly from Jorge, which I think a lot of people rub a lot of people the wrong way. Also, this Colby Jorge Masvidal fight just makes sense, even if they liked each other, and it's still not happening. I think people are just frustrated at this point, but I do agree. Once he steps in there, people are going to forget a lot of the
from my experience, every time we talk about a fighter outside of the octagon, people are like, who cares? Who, all that matters is what he does inside the octagon. And that's just been like the majority of MMA fans. So no, I don't think anything that he says right now has cost him a whole lot of, maybe a few of the, you know, people who take that stuff seriously. But as a whole, I don't think he's lost a whole lot of fans.
Are you defending the stick to sports fans?
No, I'm explaining the stick to sports fans.
Except when it's things I agree with, then keep going. Exactly. Otherwise, shut up. Yeah. Jerk.
I'm just reading my comments out loud, Casey. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Where's this channel's gone downhill since Ariel left.
I think people are frustrated that he's not fighting. I think people are frustrated he's not fighting, and they are taking it out on whatever he's doing. So it's like when John Jones was out forever and he was getting into all sorts of tomfoolery. The second he started to fight DC, people kind of forgot about it. Same as Connor. So right now they are mad at Jorge because he's not fighting. The second he comes back, I think they'll forget it. I think they're just lashing out. Also, he's the BMF champ, and like I said, that is the worst thing that happened in the welterweight division, because for the BMF champ, that's turning down fights, allegedly, probably not a good look. But once he comes back, people will be happy.
Yeah, and the BMF champ doesn't tweet out fake memes of false information.
But they look so real, Casey. They look so real.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When is Neil on Neil happening? Hashtag the A-side. Well, this is Neil Magny versus Jeff Neil. Shout out to AK Lee for coming up with Neil on Neil. They were booked before. Jeff Neil had that just awful. What was it? What was the exact medical issue? Congenitive, like heart disease or something like that. It was something crazy where he was checking his pulse like every like 30 minutes in case his heart stopped and like so. Sounds awful, but if Neil Magny is obviously already booked with Chiesa, I'm assuming one of those guys will fight Leon Edwards. I don't think Neil Magny will fight anyone because it's Neil Magny, but I don't know if the UFC will want to make that fight, especially because Jeff Neil just lost. I assume if Neil Magny loses, maybe they make that fight. But Mike, when is Neil on Neil happening?
I don't know, man. It's gonna be a while, I think. Unfortunately. And listen, if you're Jeff Neil, you're fighting Wonder Boy. That's one thing. Like, you have to deal with the mystery and the intrigue of Wonder Boy and the feet. But Neil Magny, there is no mystery. He's going to be all over you for the entire fight. Like, if you fight for 25 minutes against Neil Magny, you are going to be exhausted. And if you're having some problems with your heart, a guy like Neil Magny is not the guy I want to be fighting against to test that out. You know what I mean? Like, his pace is just unbelievable. So I think we will see that fight at some point, but I don't think we see it in 2021. Maybe 2022 would be like my earliest guess.
How many main events is Neil Magny at? One?
Was Lawler a main event?
Or was it no.
Main event? Oh,
no. I think it was the Ponzinibbio one where he got smashed.
Yes.
Oh, that was the main event? Oh,
no, I think that's the only one.
That was in Buenos Aires. And I think that was Ponzinibbio's last fight, right?
I remember that guy.
Yeah. He has a fight. He's fighting the Leech.
So they say.
So, So they say. Yeah, Neil Magny's, but I, from what I've seen, there's no question Neil Magny can go five rounds. So maybe 2022. We have a lot of questions, so that answers that.
Yep.
TFS MMA. First of all, I want to say, Alex, you have a beautiful smile. And I want to ask you guys about the UFC doesn't have interest to make a tournament.
This is for the other Alex, not cool Alex, by the way. Don't get a big head over there.
Oh yeah, I'm just flattered.
I want to ask you guys about why the UFC doesn't have interest to make a tournament for the most likely vacant lightweight belt. UFC doesn't like tournaments, Grand Prix, whatever reason. We all know why, because you don't want to risk losing a big money fight in the tournament. They just want to make the big fight now. So, but Mike, why doesn't the UFC want to make a lightweight tournament?
I don't think I should be the one answering this question, Jose. You say this like every right. week. You know the answer to this question. If the people want it, we don't get it. That's it. That's and true. Everybody wants this tournament. So there you go. I don't know. Like, there's just no rhyme or reason. Like, sometimes it doesn't make sense. This, it makes perfect sense. You can do it with 4 people, 8 people. 16 people, it doesn't matter. Like, this is too easy, especially in this situation where we don't have a champion. Now's the time. Like, you don't even have to call it a tournament. Just lay out a bunch of fights where we know where it's going to end up with somebody with the title. We're not doing a tournament. Fine. We know it's kind of a tournament. Just give us a kind of a tournament. Anything that has the word tournament in it, whether you say it's true or not, something that leads to somebody wearing the title, because this is silly. We have no champion right now. We have no champion, and we have so many freaking contenders. Have a friggin' tournament. Sorry.
Well said.
So, Mike, do you want a tournament?
A tournament. I want a freaking tournament.
Has there ever been a better time in the UFC history to have a tournament?
Mm-mm. I like the point. Even if I said this on one of our shows, even if they make Conor versus Poirier for the title, and then the title just followed the fighter throughout the tournament, I would be fine with that. Like in Bellator, where the champion's part of it, it's not like the winner gets a vacant belt. I don't hate that. And if they want to do Chandler Gaethje and then have Oliveira versus Hooker be like that Daniel Cormier type stand-in, I don't hate that either. But if you want to throw Charles Oliveira in the tournament and have Hooker v. Chandler be for the replacement, I don't hate that either. I don't really, there's so many lightweights that you could do honestly anything. Okay. You want to throw Makhachev and Felder and throw Tony Ferguson in there? Awesome. Do it. Diego Fajeda? Cool.
If things don't make sense, go to the money. That's all it is.
Yep.
I think the money, and also you can't manipulate a tournament. You know, they want to be able to handpick their fights and when and where.
Their worst case scenario is they have this big tournament. Connor loses in the first round, and then like all the big names lose. And then the finals is like Charles Oliveira versus Drew Dober, which is a great fight, but like that's not what they want.
That's 100% the truth right there. I think the UFC is deathly afraid of having a guy like, he'll have a different name this time, but someone with the same marketability, like when RDA was the lightweight champion. Us, people who like fights, we were like, cool, RDA, he's the champ. I didn't expect that, but he's the champ. He's earned it. Good for him. RDA's title fight when he defended against Eddie Alvarez was a freaking fight night. Can you imagine a lightweight title fight on a fight night? That's just like
wasn't it on, anymore. Wasn't it a fight pass?
It was fight pass too, yeah. So, yeah, I think a guy like Charles Oliveira is – obviously a very different fighter, but I think in terms of selling pay-per-views isn't very much different from RDA. Maybe actually a little worse because RDA speaks English. So I think the UFC is just very afraid of just a very non-marketable star being their champion at lightweight division. And that sucks.
Right. But what do tournaments do besides have a winner of something? It creates stars. It helps create stars. Look at AJ McKee right now.
I agree.
But see, Mike, here's the problem. I say this all the time. What's the problem with that scenario? It makes sense. And MMA doesn't make sense. It's a silly sport. But all yes, right. Make a Grand Prix, especially in lightweight. It would be the best. It would be, I dare say, one of the five greatest Grand Prix in terms of talent we've ever seen if the UFC did a lightweight tournament right now.
I'm kind of getting angry just thinking about it not happening now. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I gotta move on. I'm gonna put this question up there. I don't know what it means, but hopefully this isn't offensive.
MMA fighting. Heck, have you ever been to Baba Louie's in Great Barrington? If not, you should go there.
I have been to Baba Louie's in Great Barrington. I have also been to Baba Louie's in Pittsfield while I was still there, and took part in a pizza eating contest at Baba Louie's in Pittsfield during my radio days. So yes, I have been to Baba Louie's. It's been a while. It's probably been like 5 or 6 years since I've been to the Great Barrington location, but good stuff.
Where in Massachusetts is Great Barrington?
It's in the Berkshires.
Okay.
It's a cool place. It's very, very hippie, very crunchy. Good stuff. Okay. Like really cool downtown area. People are just so happy down there. You'll see people in the parks, just like musicians will just come together randomly. Be like, hey, we're just going to meet at 10 a.m. and no one knows who's going to come. They just go there and they just jam for hours and hours and hours. And it's a good time.
There's a Barrington, Rhode Island, and it sounds like the exact opposite of Barrington, Rhode Island, the worst place in Rhode Island. Anyway.
Not crunchy at all.
No, not even a little bit. If you don't have a fancy sports car and live in a mansion, you're out of place in Barrington, Rhode Island.
Wait, we totally blew past the main part of that story, Mike. Tell me about this pizza eating contest. Did you win?
There's a pizza eating contest.
How does it work? Is it timed? Is it just who can finish this large pizza the fastest? Like, how'd you do?
So we lost. We had to put a team together.
A team effort. Okay, there you go.
It was against the Pittsfield firefighters and police officers, and it was like one of my coworkers. Yeah, it was like radio listeners who would like call in and like be a part of the team. So we had some adults, we had some kids on the team. So it was all in good fun. The winners were the charities involved, and that's what it's all about.
Eat cheesy carbs for a smile. Sounds like a good time.
Is crunchy the same as granola? Like when you call someone granola?
Okay. In the nicest way possible, I say that.
Yeah, sure. No, I don't take it as one either. I think that's a nice word.
My dad is one of those on the corner drum circle dreads guys. Like that's nice. He's one of those dudes. Give him a couple.
Really?
We'll have to book him.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad. My dad's crazy hippie. Like, yeah.
He's awesome. Call him up. You want to come hang out in Western Massachusetts in our drum circle?
You'd be down.
He'd dig it.
Yeah. All right. Which question are we on? Here we go.
Callum Barnes on Twitter. Two-part question. With the success of the pandemic shows this year, do you think we'll see the top fighters fight more this year? Masvidal, Jones, Connor twice, maybe both Diaz bros? Number two, if so, would be the over-under on 5 pay-per-views doing over 1 million buys. Lots to unpack. Well, of all the names he mentioned, Connor is the only one with a fight booked. John Jones allegedly going to fight the winner of Stipe Francis, which isn't booked either. I don't think Nick fights. Nate, maybe. Masvidal, probably. Under, I think less than 5 pay-per-views do a million buys. What is everyone else's thoughts?
Well, how many did it this year? Just the one? Just the Connor Cowboy card?
Yeah.
I think 251 did two.
Was close to that.
That was the first Fight Island card.
Yeah.
Which what?
That was the three title fights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was Usman Masvidal, Aldo, Jan, Holloway, Volkanovski 2, Rose, Andrade 2. Like, that was the stats card. It was also the first Fight Island card, so people are probably intrigued.
Yeah.
So I'll stay under 5.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Way under 5. Yeah.
Five would be like the max. And that's like,
I mean, they could have Connor fight Cowboy 5 times in a row, maybe, and they'll probably still do a million each. But you guys will buy anything as long as Connor's there.
I just don't know. Like, I don't know if everybody on this list is a million pay-per-view seller. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like even John Jones, when he fought DC, like in the last fight, that did really well, and there was so much heat there. And that didn't even do a million pay-per-views. I mean, getting close. A million pay-per-views, yeah, it was like 800,000, which is still a really good number. Incredible. Getting a million pay-per-view buys in this day and age where, let's be honest, there are some folks out there who aren't going to spend $65 a month on a UFC pay-per-view event. They might find other ways to view this product. And with it being so easy, getting a million pay-per-view buys in 2020, 2021 – doesn't happen as much as it did like 4 or 5 years ago. So I'll say under easily.
Dude, they have to save up for Mayweather Logan Paul. Why spend money on the UFC pay-per-view?
No, they bought it on day one so they could save $20 on the buy rate.
You're right. Dang,
this is actually brilliant.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think if Jones fights Izzy, that'll do a million, I think.
That'll do a million.
Especially if it's the International Fight Week like Izzy keeps talking about. In July, but
so psychic.
He has to be on, and John is now a heavyweight, so probably not going to happen in July, but is what it is. Anytime Connor fights, I'm comfortable saying he'll do a million buys. Anytime. If not a million, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. But I'm super curious though how Connor is going to sell with I've kind of talked about this a lot, with no crowd, with no press conference, with no big weigh-ins. Like, Connor's gonna be at a weigh-ins where it's just, it'll be Dana White, not Sean Shelby, but just, you know, it's just in a bar, it's in a hotel ballroom. You know, it's like, this is gonna be very different, a very different Connor week, you know, with no, because Connor, you can't come out there, do his little thing wearing his jacket, you know, I don't know. It's just gonna be very different.
I'm willing to bet there's a press conference on Fight Island.
Yeah.
Because it's the last pay-per-view it's the last card of the 3 days. Wouldn't be surprised if they just did one mega press conference right at the beginning with all the main event guys. I thought for sure Connor would be the first card because then they could have a full fight week without a fights getting in the way, if that makes sense. So like Connor would fight the first Saturday. So you have a week of just Connor, Poirier, and then the Wednesday, Saturday. Kind of like in Jacksonville where the pay-per-view kicked off the three cards in 7 days. But that didn't happen. He's now the last one. So I don't know. I assume we'll have a big press conference. Dana White has said 1,000 times they want fans, but I haven't heard anything yet. So we'll see.
There won't be fans. But you brought up the Paul brothers. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
You did it first.
Natalie Duran, what do you guys think about Jake Paul versus Ben Askren and Logan Paul versus – or Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul? Okay.
I'm actually kind of excited to see Jake Paul and Ben Askren. Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul are just stupid. Like, that's just a dumb idea. But Ben Askren, what it is? You gonna watch?
Wait, are we arguing what's more stupid? Is that what we're doing here?
Isn't that the question?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I personally think when it comes to Jake Paul versus Ben Askren, that seems like Cool Alex is involved in this as well. I feel like everybody that's excited about this is in the middle of the biggest troll job in the history of combat sports. Ben Askren in September just had like major hip surgery. I mean, major hip surgery. If this guy comes in boxes in March, I will be the most shocked person in the world. It's just, he, like, when I spoke with him, he said he was thinking about getting back on the wrestling mats to like drill in September of 2021. All of a sudden he could start dancing around and boxing. Not saying like you need to, you know, you're cradling people and doing all sorts of transitions on the mat, but you're telling me that Ben Askren is a miracle healer. It can get in and box in March. I just don't see it happening. Maybe I'm the one being trolled. Maybe the surgery happened way ahead of time. Maybe this is just like this prolonged thing where it was all leading to Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. I just don't see it happening. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I think this is all just a well-orchestrated plot by like everybody involved to sell, as Nick Diaz said so well, wolf tickets to get people hyped up for this fight. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Ben is doing an A plus job making people buy it. If it happens, I will come on the show and say, I am an idiot. I was wrong. You guys are all right. You should have been excited about it. I'm a dope, but I'm not saying it. I don't think I'm going to have to do that. I think we're all going to be sitting there in March seeing Jake Paul fight somebody that is not Ben Askren, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry.
I feel bad as Mike Hector's laying around at night going, am I being trolled? Are they trolling me? Am I trolling them?
Am I getting outmaneuvered by the Paul brothers? How's this work?
Is this life? Is this real? This is real. Jake Paul again.
When do you think the last time Ben Askren hit pads was?
Before he fought Damian Maya.
Yeah. I don't think he's like thrown any sort of strike at all since his last UFC fight. Maybe held pads, but not hit pads.
For Ben Askren, I don't think he can get humiliated in the combat sports sense more than he did when he fought Masvidal. So I think if he can take that fight against which Paul was it? Logan Paul? He would Jake take Blake. It. Oh, Jake. Wait. You know, I had a thought on this, but I don't even care. Honestly, I'm just gonna shut up. I just don't care. I'm insulted.
Getting knocked out by Jake Paul would be so much more embarrassing than getting knocked out by Jorge Masvidal.
It would not be, because he will make more money getting knocked out by that Paul guy than by Masvidal.
That's fine. So maybe he's not embarrassed, but I would be embarrassed for him. I would look at Ben Askren and be like, God, I can't even imagine. I would never leave my house if I was a professional fighter and knocked out by Logan Paul or Jake Paul, whichever one.
Yeah, me neither.
Which one took a photo in front of a dead body?
I don't know.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
I just found out there were two of them. I just found out.
One of them is covered in tattoos. That's the younger brother. That is how I tell them apart.
Next question.
Damn, YouTubers, kids these days.
Youths. MMG2K20. As MMA media members, do you think Dana respects you guys? I feel like he should appreciate the MMA media more. There have been fights on the UFC cards I have had zero interest in, and the moment you guys talk about it / break it down, I am fully invested. # the A-side. Well, all right, guys. Does Dana White respect us? I'm assuming he's talking about us four specifically, right? More just MMA media in general.
In general, no. I mean, I think he's made that pretty clear. I mean, it's PR 101, though. I think it would behoove him to at least be cordial and at least not, you know, make a hit piece for everybody. But I don't know. I don't, yeah, no, he doesn't, obviously. It just, it makes me sad because, like, I see how hard everybody, especially at our site, works. And if people knew, like, what this job entails, and for people to claim, like, oh, they hate the sport, blah, blah, blah. You literally cannot do this job if you hate the sport. It's working on Thanksgiving. It's working on Christmas. It's nights and weekends. And you know who else works nights and weekends and holidays? Surgeons. Is anybody here making surgeon money? No. Okay, so let's, like, take it easy on the MMA media members. Everybody's doing their best, just like everybody else at their job at home. You know, we're no different than anybody else. And I say we. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. I'm just here, you know, throwing up some videos on social media every once in a while. So, like, I'm just here to, you know, stick up for everybody at the site. You guys rock.
Get him. Mike, does Dana White hate us?
You in particular, Mike.
Well, I mean, it's like looking in a mirror when he looks at me. So. According to our fine readers and viewers.
Oh, that's funny.
Dana Echo. Oh, that's funny. Maybe it's just the bald head in the Boston area living. No, I don't think he respects us, but that's fine. That's just who Dana is. Like, Dana has to win. He's as stubborn as it gets. And I've been known to be stubborn myself from time to time. So I get it. But at the same time, I don't care. Like, if he doesn't respect what I'm doing or anybody else doing, that's fine. Because he needs us as much. He needs us like he does. We need them to put on fights so we have things to cover. And I get that. But we help grow the sport, whether people like it or not. Like the question stated, there have been some pretty bad fight cards, like some pretty bad ones that we have gone on, whether on Between the Links or preview shows, something like that. And we've found diamonds in the rough. We have been the sunshine on the otherwise cloudy day. We found ways to make these fight cards better than they are on paper. Find the intriguing storylines, the under the radar fights and storylines, things like that. I feel like we've done a good job piquing interest in some of these cards. So, I mean, at the end of the day, he may not respect us, but at the same time, I think he knows the value we provide to the sport. And that's why he hasn't, like, banished media altogether, because he could say what he wants in those hit pieces and they could post AK's face on a video and all this other stuff. But at the same time, I think he understands the value we bring to the sport. And without us, you know, maybe they don't sell the company for $4.2 billion.
Well said. Well said. Casey, does Dana White hate us?
Oh, of course he does. Today he does. But tomorrow, when we're, you know, talking about how awesome this fight card was, you know, he'll say, you know, nice things. Like, he said lots of, like, you know, at successful pay-per-views, you know, when Dana talks at the post-fight presser, and then afterwards he'll say, you know, I just want to thank the media. You guys did great covering us, and thank you for coming out and everything. Like, it just depends what mood he's in, you know? It's like, but he's very normal and very emotional, like normal people are. When, like, we can tweet out, right, 50 nice articles about, oh, what a great fight, what a great match, fight booking, you know, what a great this, what a great that. But then we put one thing suggesting, I don't know, maybe this was kind of off. And then he'll just go off one comment after 50 nice things. So he's a guy that likes to focus on the negative, and that's what fuels him. You know, obviously his bank account is, you know, whatever, just unbelievably big. So, you know, what's going to drive him now? You know, he has this little chip on his shoulder, you know, like, oh, these little wimpy MMA media guys, they've never done anything in their life, you know, look at what I've done, you know. And he just wants to fight. He wants to fight. That's his thing. So don't care, but, you know, definitely doesn't respect us.
Yeah, I don't particularly care.
Yeah,
if he likes me or not. I'm just going to go there and say, this guy beat this guy in an octagon, and Dana White said this after. And that's what I'm going to keep doing.
But thanks. Thank you for the commentary. No, I appreciate you listening to us. And, you know, when we talk about.
And we've talked to, and Casey and I have talked about this off air, like, especially when we were getting to cover fights together. Like, someone asked us why the UFC just doesn't stream everything themselves and send the video to, like, you know how, like, someone like an AP writer could go and write something and then he just blasts it out to everyone. Like, why doesn't the UFC keep everything in house? Like, why do we need reporters at official weigh-ins? Why do we need them at press conferences? When, like, why do we need these, like, shooting them? It's because, imagine if they turned the cameras around to get crowd shots and there's no cameras there. Like, the UFC wants to show people covering the sport. They want us there. Whether they like our questions or not, they want us there to at least show people are there. Like, when they cut the question, that when they cut around to the questions of the reporters asking at the old style press conferences, and you see all the cameras right there, it looks great for the UFC. Imagine if there were none, though. So that's why they want us there. And that's why they don't just, like, virtual media days, I get, like, some people don't have the ability to record, or they can't make it, so they'll send the recordings out after. But they want us there to record and put up ASAP to just show that we're there.
I mean, like, I was in, like, every freaking embedded video because, like, but it's always me holding a camera and stuff. So it's just like, yeah, they like the presence of media. And if he doesn't like media so much, how's he going to do these media hit pieces? You know, how's he going to do that?
True.
Yeah, those are fun.
True.
So those take it back. Dana loves us.
Daniel Pompilio.
Did we already answer this?
Who should Seth can? We talked about this a little bit. Want Kevin Holland. Everyone else seems to think Magny Cayce. When Connor wins, Connor with one end, by the way. Chris Callahan on Twitter. Tennis Dudes 222. When Connor wins, do we see McGregor Masvidal next? Nope. Hell no.
Yeah,
I think Connor. That what did Connor say after when he's like at the press conference after he beat Cowboy, and Masvidal was there in that bathrobe, the same bathrobe that Connor wore at like the Mayweather like open workout. What did he was like? Oh, people love a trier, and I was like, oh, just twist the knife, man. Just completely no sold. Like shot him down, made him like irrelevant in like one sentence. God damn, Connor. Yeah, that to me was worse than who the F is that guy?
Yeah.
It was, oh God, you love a trier. And I was like, geez, leave him alone already.
Anyway. He's dead. He's dead. Stop kicking him.
That just ethered. That to me, that ethered Masvidal right on the spot. But yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Terrence Leverett on Twitter this time with former Ryzen champ Manel Cape in the UFC now. Who is fighting on the Ryzen card that you see being the breakout star and going to the UFC? Well, you don't have to go to the UFC to be a star. Yeah. Or it would help in the eyes of casual fans. But this Ryzen card is awesome. And you know what? We're not going to say we don't watch it. Right, guys? Yeah. I'm sure we all know what we're talking about. We're all going to watch it, and we're not, because our interest is more than in the negative. So, Mike, who should fans pay attention to on this Ryzen card?
Well, I think more fans are going to be paying attention to Kaya Sakura on this card because of what you may be alluding to. I think people have done their homework. So in a strange way, that video clip has actually probably helped Kaya Sakura because people want to see him fight. And that fight with Horiguchi is just ridiculous. I mean, Kaya Sakura has two knockouts this year, and they're all via soccer kick. That's all you need to know. Google it, my friends. But there is one fighter that I am interested in seeing. Kazuma Kuramoto's fighting on this card. He's fighting Tayo Nakahara. And before his last fight, he was 6-0 or 7-0 with seven finishes or a whole bunch of finishes, undefeated, really good guy. And he lost his last fight to a 22-fight veteran in the second round. It was a one-punch KO at one of the Shudo 2020 events. So he's fighting Tayo Nakahara, who's got 23 pro fights. It's an interesting matchup, but this guy is exciting. One of the best bantamweights in Japan. He's probably like a top 20 guy like in that region, but very exciting. He's a finisher. He's fast. He's dynamic. So he's a guy that I would pay attention to. I'm not sure if he's on the main card or not for Ryzen 26, but yeah, he is. He is. So that'd be a guy like if you're looking for like an up and coming guy who's in his like mid to late 20s that could do some damage and is exciting to watch. That's one guy I would put my finger at.
Did you guys know that we keep talking about these YouTube fighters and this and that and everything? Did you know Kaya Sakura is incredibly is an understatement. He is a shockingly successful YouTuber in Japan.
For real?
He has like 600,000 subscribers. I'm willing to bet a lot of people discovered MMA because of his YouTube channel. He's a huge star in Japan, especially because of YouTube.
His
on YouTube channel.
Fighting related or is it just like lifestyle?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Like he'll like confront guys. Like I think he has like MMA fighter confronts drunk man on the street or like, and then he'll do like vlogs too or something, stuff like that. But successful YouTuber fighting for a title against who many consider one of, if not the best fighters outside of the UFC. A lot of people consider him, he could be the best bantamweight in the world. He could be the best flyweight in the world. Like, I think the fact that DJ, Demetrius Johnson, is fighting 125, 135, I think I put him maybe a step above, but 2021, that might be different. But yeah, Gyorgy Horiguchi for Kaya Sakar, effing rules. Anyway, Casey, you were at the last Ryzen show. This is the first time you're not in Tokyo / Vegas in a long time.
Yeah.
I know you're going to watch, but what other fights are you excited on this card for?
Well, I was just thinking, it's like, I got to take a little nap. I got to make sure I take a nap this afternoon because I think the opening ceremonies and like Ryzen's New Year's Eve card is without a doubt, without a freaking doubt, but the highlight MMA wise of my year. It's just an amazing show. No one does it as big as they do. Obviously, the main event is super awesome. It's a rematch, and I just can't wait for that main event. The return of Gyorgy after his really bad knee injury. Shout out to Mike Brown spending 2 weeks in quarantine. Seriously. In Japan. So I'm hoping also, he stays a couple of days to go to Wrestle Kingdom. But
let's also not forget Masvidal has said that he thinks Gyorgy Horiguchi is the best fighter at ATT. Like Jorge Masvidal has said that. So for those of you who just follow the UFC and want some sort of like, it's great for us to talk about it and be excited about it because we're going to watch it no matter what. But like for like, say what you want about Jorge Masvidal not fighting or fighting, whatever. He is a phenomenal fighter. And if a fighter of his caliber thinks that Gyorgy Horiguchi is the best fighter at ATT, which is one of, if not the top gyms on planet Earth, like that should get you excited right there. Also, I just looked up Kai's channel to get the official like name of it. It's just Kai Channel and then / and I don't read Japanese, so I can't read it. But all of the titles are in Japanese, so I can't tell you what they say. But it's like 3.4 million, 1.1 million, 900,000. So I don't quite know what they are, but it looks like there's photos of him playing volleyball. There's him holding a giant pizza, so I'm assuming he eats a huge pizza. Looks like he plays dodgeball against some guys. Looks like he eats a bunch of whole chicken nuggets next to his dog. So yeah, you get a lot of everything in Kai Asakura's YouTube channel. So go watch after this, go find Kai Asakura's YouTube channel because it's very successful.
And also, so people are asking, I think the fight costs $20. I think it's Fight TV. I'm not sure, but it's $20 pay-per-view, but man, it is probably about a 7-hour experience, the whole thing. And it's just so good. I mean, freaking Tenshin's fighting. Good Lord, that's fighting. The very opening of the card, freaking Minowa Man's back, who's Mr. kind of pro wrestler. Yes. Minowa Man, like, just seeing Minowa Man live, it's always fun. And there's just a lot of Japanese talent on here that I'm just not familiar with, to be honest, because it's just we have so many freaking fights to pay attention to over here. So this is just an excellent chance just to see that there's a lot of MMA in the world, and the presentation is so different. It is the best.
And it's in a ring.
Oh, God bless him.
All you need to hear is Casey say, the opening ceremonies begin. Yeah. Opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
They also let, like, when MVP fought on Ryzen last year and he walked out with his Akatsuki, not just an Akatsuki outfit, like, he had the headband, he had the robe, he had the throwing knife in his mouth when he run out. And I asked Roxy about it because she fought on the January pay-per-view, the Conor card, when she fought Macy Barber, and she was like, she was freaking out over it. She was like, I want to do that, but the UFC won't let me.
This week on The Pitch, it's tween time.
We're redefining feminine hygiene for tweens.
You've done 5 million in sales. You did 3 million last year. Very impressive.
Thank you.
I really believe in this category. I'm an investor in a company called Aunt Float.
And similarly, I'm a personal investor in Ruby Love.
Like Elizabeth and Charles, I have seen a lot of these companies. Mm-hmm. I've never made an investment in the space. You should be raising more than $500,000.
As a Black woman, for me to come on here and say, I'm going to become the new Always, that's super audacious. And I could Lovely. We for sure.
What makes it audacious?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I get the sense back her experience might have been a little different.
Oh, oh, oh.
That
looked really expensive.
This week on The Pitch, Monica Williams drops the mic. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Another question from Terrence Leverett. Who is the closest to being a realistic new champ who would be an improvement for the current champ, meaning they would stay active and keep the division moving?
I feel like the only division that's really not moving that people are openly complaining about is like heavyweight. So if Ngannou were to...
I think welterweight, just because no one burns is happening. But like, at least we have some sort of idea of who's going to fight who. We just don't know when. But yeah, heavyweight would be... I think if France was champion, he'd fight a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And he's angry. So even though he's fought Stipe before and lost, he's pretty frustrated right now. I wouldn't want to face an angry Ngannou, personally.
I agree. Other than that, we have a lot of, quote, new champions as it is. Like, Jan just won the title. Volkanovski just won the title. He's supposed to fight Ortega, but we don't know when. Like, Izzy's the middleweight's moving up to fight light heavyweight. So a lot of things need to happen first. So I guess maybe heavyweight, but I'm not saying Francis would be a better champion than Stipe. He just might be more active, if that's what you're asking.
What? Yeah, I think if Gilbert Burns beats Kamaru Usman, he'd be another guy.
That's very true. He'll fight every day. That dude wants to fight
every week. Yeah.
I was in Jacksonville when the Jacare Uriah Hall fight fell out, and Gilbert Burns like, I'll fight Uriah Hall, because he was there to corner.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
Excellent production, you know, Casey.
It was perfect bound timing. To happen, and I'm surprised it hadn't happened before.
Can you point your mic toward you, Alex, and not the cat? Thank you.
There we go.
Well done. Which cat was that?
That's Hella. She lives up to her name.
Oh. Wait, what UFC title fights are booked right now or pretty much in the works?
Megan Anderson or Amanda Nunes, Megan Anderson.
Champ first.
Champ, the featherweight champ for women's.
Is that it?
I think that might be,
that's
that
it.
Might be like the only one that's like that's on it. The books.
That's kind of wild.
We know Figueiredo Moreno are going to rematch. Like we know Jan and Sterling are going to fight. We know we know these guys are going to fight so and so. We just don't know when, and it's not like I don't think anyone's put pen to paper yet.
Odd. I mean, they
like Blachowicz, Adesanya. We know that's coming.
Yeah, and we know Volkanovski, Ortega. We know Usman, Burns. We know Stipe, Francis. We the Wiley, Rose, Carlos Barza. That seems to be. They got to figure that situation out too. Flyweight. Who knows? Like, who knows who's next to Valentina?
Who's next for Nunes at bantamweight too?
Yeah. I think if
they screwed it up when they had Holly fight Aldana.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate
Holly if Holly should fight their enemy. That's the fight. And then the winner fights Nunes or
if they just make that if they just make Amanda featherweight. Have her stay at featherweight and then make that for the vacant bantamweight, I wouldn't hate that either.
Ooh. Darby Crash on our YouTube comments is hating on me. Dude, Mr.
Life goes on.
Darby Crash, come on, Mr. Punk Rocker. Jeez. If you don't know Darby Crash is, Google him. I want to answer this one. Oh, where is it? I like this question. Oops, I'm going to get rid of that.
Tristan Gardet has asked a question on the site, Twitter, and now YouTube, man. This guy is dedicated.
He's DMing me.
Which fighter surprised you the most for 2020? Also, which fighter do you think will have a great year in 2021 that no one is talking about? I think the fighter that impressed me the most, obviously Kevin Holland. I didn't expect him to knock out Jacare. The other fights like Buckley, Darren Stewart, like those fights, like obviously I thought he could easily win. Him knocking out Jacare shocked me. Any other? Who's our top five breakout fighters? Was it Shamayev, Holland, Buckley? Who else?
Who did I have?
Chaos right. Williams.
Chaos.
And who the hell was the fifth one? Oh, Yuri Prohashka was the fifth one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me find it real quick. My breakout fighters of the year were Shamayev number one, just because I never heard the freaking dude before. Yuri number two, Kevin Holland, Figgy Smalls, and Charles Oliveira. But the question was like surprise. What
I know. That's what I was trying to think of, who surprised. Kevin Holland surprised me.
Kevin Holland didn't surprise me because I knew when he fought Thiago Santos and he went to decision and fought a very competitive fight. I was like, dude, this dude's legit. He's gonna be very good once he has a full camp and everything, and just grows into being a full time fighter. But him knocking out Jacare the way he did was super surprising. Not actually winning. The fighter that surprised me the most in 2020 though was Jan Blachowicz. Just because I thought he was a mid tier, top 15.
I wrote the 2018 or 2019. Breakout star of the year for the site, and at the time it was Izzy because it was his first year in the UFC and he went like 4-0, and then like number two was Aaron Pico and Tatiana and Volkanovski and I think someone else, because there's like a tie for fifth. Oh, Anthony Smith I think might have been two or three, because mm-hmm. that's when he had that incredible run before he fought John. I wrote things like, yeah, Jan Blachowicz is still a light heavyweight. That goes to tell you how shallow that division is right now. And man, like 2 years later, he made me my words. But Jan was a good one because I brought this up 1,000 times, even to Dom and Jan, that the UFC wanted him to lose to a lot of fighters so they could use the winner to propel like Rockhold, Jacare, Dom, like Corey Anderson, and he just kept knocking him off, and then eventually now he's the champ. A fighter that I completely forgot about being a breakout star that I really, really impressed me because I didn't think he'd be here at this point was Marvin Vettori after he beat Jack Hermanson. I completely forgot about him.
He's on
my breakout
star.
Yeah, because I was there when his fight fell out in Jacksonville, and I was like, that sucks. Like, why doesn't he fight Uriah Hall? They're both middleweights. and then to finally fight Carl Roberson, and then to get the quick, and then to step in against Jack Hermanson, going from a 3-round to a 5-round and win. And now we might fight Darren Till. I think, yeah, he really surprised me. He showed me that he is an awesome, awesome, legit fighter.
My surprising fighter of the year, Glover Teixeira. Good God, what a year that guy had. And he's still not going to fight for a title, which is absurd. Absurd that he's not fighting for a title. He could.
Like, would you?
He better hope Jan Blachowicz wins, beats Israel Adesanya, or he ain't fighting for the title anytime soon.
True.
Glover's so freaking good. He's so freaking good.
And this is his best. This is like his best year. This is like the best he's looked in his career. Like, he's just finishing everybody. Like, he's finishing durable guys. Like, no, there are very few people who thought that he was going to beat Thiago Santos, and he did. Like, it did it impressively. The guy should be fighting for a world title, and it sucks. Like, he's going to be kind of ignored in 2021 because there should be no other fight for him. But I just don't see it happening, unfortunately.
And he's like 70.
It's like, yeah, correct. He's, you didn't mention that.
That's crazy too. He's awesome, but unfortunately, he's not gonna go, Jan, you suck. You know, all that stuff. You know, he's not gonna say, you know, whatever, John Jones, you know, eat my butt. You know, he's just that's what the UFC wants, man. You know, they just want guys to say crap, you know. And unfortunately, Glover is just a really – actually, he's a great fighter who I completely don't expect him ever to fight for a title again.
He needs to bring in, like, Paul Heyman or something to cut promos for him.
Figgy Smalls. He's got Waleed right next to him. Waleed's great. I know the media, we like to complain, oh, that's not Figgy saying that, that's Waleed saying that. But in terms of just selling fights, Waleed gets that. He'll you know, he gets that part, you know. So and fans don't care.
Alex, who's your surprising fighter of the year?
The first name that came to mind was Mackenzie Dern, and then the second name was Brandon Moreno. To be honest, I didn't think that he would at least even get to the title this year, let alone fight to the title to a draw. I mean, that's kind of awesome. That's a great story.
Mackenzie Dern is a good one. Really good one. I think the Hannah Cyphers fight, the Cyphers fight and the Marcos fight didn't surprise me, but the Jandiroba fight, like her just all of a sudden just going in like
crazy. Because when I called Mackenzie Dern the winner of that one before it happened, I believe Casey thought it was crazy and said, "Have you seen the last three Jandiroba fights?"
Yeah, I have. Hey, it was
the Mackenzie Dern.
That was fight of the night till the main event. It was a very competitive fight. Yeah. She what impressed me the most about Mackenzie Dern, though, and this is I really mean this too, she took a whooping. She broke her nose. She got in a gritty fight that wasn't really which I guess we haven't seen her in that type of stand up war. And she got pieced up, and she pieced up Jandiroba too. And the fact that she came out of that like okay and winning the fight legitimately in a competitive fight, it's like okay, Mackenzie Dern, she can fight. She is a fighter, you know, not just someone. If she gets you to the ground, no, you watch out. She's a fighter. She's a tough lady. She fought through stress, broken nose. So I'm excited about Dern. I'm still in the Jandiroba train though. Don't watch out. So.
Mackenzie doesn't already have another fight, right?
I don't think so yet.
Yeah, she does. Nina Ansaroff. Nina Ansaroff, right. April 10th.
There you go.
That's a great fight
for Dern. That's smart.
Nina Ansaroff and Tatiana Suarez both fight on that Chicago card, and Nina had a baby and is now and is back before Tatiana Suarez.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's crazy.
Hey, having a baby is easier to get over than having a pinched nerve in your neck or whatever she's got.
Is it a pinched nerve?
It's she has neck. The neck injury.
It's severe neck injury.
Yeah. From wrestling.
I don't know what the exact situation is, but she can't shoot for blast double leg takedowns, which is like her thing.
Yeah. I'm gonna give the Tito thing. You know, she has a broken C64. You know, remember, whatever Tito used to say all the time.
Shoot, man, why didn't we mention Tito as best trash talkers in MMA?
Oh God. He's the best trash talker in politics right now.
All right. No, he's not a politician. Didn't you hear?
Oh, yeah. What's that Twitter account that always posts the Tito clips?
But
Full Contact, like MTW or something like that. It's such a fun rabbit hole to take a trip down. It really is.
That Twitter account is doing the Lord's work. I love it.
Sometimes I wish they would link back, but yes, I agree.
That's true.
It's God bless them.
It's a nice aggregator site.
Yeah.
Account, I should say.
Oh, second part of the question.
Which fighter do you think will have a great year in 2021?
That no one.
Who's going to be our breakout star?
That no one's talking about.
Who will be our breakout star this year?
Leon Edwards. Boom.
Ooh, Jed will love that answer.
Man, AJ, well, you MMA wise, I'm going to AJ McKee. I think he will win the tournament.
He could be champ at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think he'll win the tournament and go up to 55, which means he might fight Pitbull twice. Who knows? That'd be really crazy.
He might fight the
champ. He's still double champ, right?
I think Scott Coker said Patricio might vacate so his brother could fight for it. He could fight both Pitbull brothers back to back. Go 2-0 against the bros. Either one.
Yeah, either way.
And I wouldn't hate. And Patricio could go to 135 and get that title too.
UFC wise, who are we thinking?
Font is a good answer. Rob Font is a good answer.
Casey Kenney could be a good answer if he beats Dominic Cruz.
Casey Kenney could be a wicked good answer. Yeah, you're not wrong. Mare Abbott and him. eventually fighting again. I think Merab and Casey Kenney could be like Poirier Holloway, where they fought so early in their career. And then later on down the road, it's like a much bigger fight.
Yeah.
I felt the same thing about Shane Burgos and Calvin Kattar, though, and that could still be a big fight.
The breakout star of 2020 in the UFC will be Manel Cape.
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for you. We'll see. That Pantoja fight's, hopefully that happens that is February 6th.
I mean, but look at me. Fight. Like we have Hazmat this year. Like we didn't even know the guy existed a year ago. So who knows? Oh, you know what? Maybe yeah. Who's that dude that beat Charles Oliveira in Fight Island?
Alex Oliveira.
Alex Oliveira. I'm sorry. Yeah. Alex Oliveira with the thing from Kazakhstan. He looked amazing, yeah. But we only saw him once.
Yes.
So,
with the wolf hat.
Yeah. Take a couple more. What we got here?
Any word on the return of Ice Cream Crone? We all knew an all stand-up affair with Cub wasn't going to end well, but Crone held his own for a BJJ guy versus a good UFC vet. Hashtag the A-side. I've heard nothing. I know our own Guillermo Cruz, before this pandemic happened, was just beating his head on a wall for the UFC to book Crone Gracie in Brazil. Like when they did that pay-per-view, when they announced the pay-per-view in Brazil, it was supposed to be Cejudo and Aldo. I think it was in Sao Paulo. He's like, Crone Gracie, make it happen. Every single Brazil card, he would call for Crone Gracie to be on. And so I don't know. I have literally no idea.
Me neither.
But I haven't heard anything from his camp. He takes long gaps, though.
I don't think we're going to see Crone back in the UFC. I think that's kind of done. His gym, Crone's jiu-jitsu gym down here is closed. It closed before the pandemic. So, yeah, I heard he's over the MMA thing. I think, you know, he gave it a shot and, you know, he saw the limits maybe. And maybe if he's not under contract anymore, we might see him fight, you know, a one-off like in Japan or one or something like that. But I really don't think I think he's done in the UFC. Unfortunately, it was fun to watch.
Very interesting interview too, because he doesn't watch the sport.
I kind of love
it because he fought on the first ESPN card, and I had to write this story about. So I interviewed all the fighters at media day. Like, what do you think about fighting on ESPN? He goes, didn't even know that was a thing until right now, and I was like. That's interesting. They just caught me off guard. Didn't know how to I had zero response because I didn't think anyone would say that.
I always think it's interesting when like high level fighters or even any professional fighter, they just like I don't watch this.
Like Robert Whittaker for the last media day when they were like, "What do you think about Anderson Silva retiring like next week?" He's like, "Is he? Yeah, he's fighting Uriah Hall." Oh,
is he?
He's like, "Is he?" He's like. Well, I beat him, so okay.
Speaking of people who are going to have a great 2021, Whittaker needs his friggin' belt back.
Yeah. I hope he's active, man. He's so fun to watch.
I don't know. I heard from a certain promoter he doesn't want to fight.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just saying.
Rats.
Do-do-do.
Four Corner Sports. Is this the fight to make Game Bread versus Leon? Highly doubt. Masvidal takes the fight. That's not pay-per-view, main event, or co-main event. And it's a response to Leon Edwards calling out Jorge Masvidal. Not happening.
Yeah, it was the fight to make in like March of 2019. And it never happened. So it's the ship's kind of sailed at this point. They're not going to fight unless the title's on the line.
Yep, not happening.
And not the BMF title.
Khamzat destroys Colby. Changed my mind. I don't care.
Yeah. Oops.
My official answer to that is maybe.
Maybe.
It's a fight.
Colby's.
It's a fight.
That is a fight. As AK Lee said, that's a fight. I like say what you want about Colby's like what he says and how he acts and how he carries himself and portrays himself. Dude is an unbelievable fighter. An unbelievable fighter. Like, he could be the second best welterweight in the world. he could be the best welterweight in the world in this new camp. He fought Usman, and he changed camps after. So, and that fight is one of the best fights of 2019. Like, I don't think we'd disagree. Yeah.
So you wouldn't be shocked if Colby Covington is the welterweight champ at the end of 2021?
No.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be more surprised if they rebooked that fight, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. If they fight 10 times, they could each win 5. I also think if Khamzat beat Edwards, he would just like leapfrog everyone.
I mean, at the end of if Colby fights Masvidal and wins, his next fight will be for the title. Like, it has to be. Yeah. I don't care if they just fought in December of 2019. Like, Colby's next fight will be for the belts if he beats Masvidal.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
All right, this last question is for a certain panelist in particular.
Max El Kukui Holloway, what Contender Series alumni from this year are you most excited for? I'm assuming this is for Mike because he covered the Contender Series for the site.
God, there's so many. I mean, I think coming out of this year, I would say, how could Jordan Leavitt not be near the top of the list? Because I feel
He was my favorite fighter to come off the Contender Series this year.
Yeah, it's got to be him. After a slam KO win, doesn't matter who it was against. I feel like his stock has risen so much because of that. I think people are starting to see his personality, and there's a cat who also seems to like Jordan Leavitt. So that's a good thing.
Oh, big fan over here.
big Jordan Leavitt fan. I mean, Leavitt's got to be at the top of that list, but there's a lot. I mean, I'm really excited to see Cheyenne Bays make her UFC debut whenever that happens. I thought her performance against Hillary Rose was outstanding. She's got a great personality. She can talk the talk. I think the story with her and her husband both being in the UFC at the same time, I'm sure the UFC is going to try to capitalize on that, put them both on the same card for their debuts. Those are two off the top of my list, but I mean, what did they send? Like 40 freaking fighters this year? So there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, Leavitt's my guy. Mostly because I was at his fight and we talked about Stephen King at the press conference and I was like, oh, did you just make Team Jose? Probably.
I don't know if Leavitt's the guy, but I love his personality and I wish him success. I enjoy fighters like that, and I enjoy just different types of dudes in this sport. You know, not just, you know, the same story, whatever. Like, I just like guys like that, so it's gonna be fun. Is he booked in that fight?
No.
So weird. Sometimes
he's got a baby. He's having a baby.
Yeah, good for him. Congratulations.
Yeah, he announced it at his Contender Series by mistake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
He's like, yeah, me and my wife are having a baby. Oh, we haven't even told her mom yet. Or something like that.
We've been talking a long time.
Yeah, we have. An hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's not like there's media day this week. I promised a giant-sized episode. We had a giant-sized episode. So are we wrapping 2020, Casey?
Well, we've done all. I've gone through all the questions.
We've talked a long time.
Yeah. Oops.
Got to take a nap for Verizon, buddy.
Yeah, I got to take a nap. I still got a little work to do. Yeah. We answered everything.
All right. This is a wrap for 2020 on the A-Side Live Chat. I'll let you guys promo whatever you want before I say something. Mike, the floor is yours. Plug whatever you want to plug.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for checking out all the content this year. I will say I'm very excited for On to the Next One to drop on Sunday, because me and AK, we've already recorded it, and it is a comprehensive preview of 2021, where there's just been a bunch of questions that have come in over the last several months from different listeners about just like kind of buy or sell questions leading into 2021. Some of them are absolutely ridiculous and interesting. So me and AK talk about that. We predict who will be champions in the UFC, who will be fighter of the year, male and female at the end of the year. And then we come through with our burning hot take of the year, which both of our picks are outlandish. They're both outlandish and they probably will never happen. But if they do, we'll be
I mean, we'll be heroes, no doubt about it. But that drops that's going to drop on Sunday. It's good stuff. Thank you all. Happy New Year and Godspeed, everybody.
Casey, what you got to say?
Man, I just want to actually thank all of you, the fans. Thank you. I really mean that. You guys kept watching. I know we've had a lot of craziness in this world. This year sucked. It sucked. Apparently, it was good for the UFC business-wise. But it sucked. And, it was a tough one. And a lot of big changes happened this year. I didn't travel 90% of the year. I sat in this chair 90% of the year. So that was exciting. But, I'm hoping 2021 is a better year. And I'm just excited about MMA fighting team. Now we got Mike Heck here, got Jose Young, Alex Savas, the other Alex. We just got a lot of. I like our team. We're hard workers, and we're it's exciting. I'm just hoping 2021's better
for planet Earth.
For planet Earth, yeah, just in general.
Alex, how you sign off 2020? I gave you two promos to think of a promo.
Wait, what? No, in true Alex Savas fashion, I have no promo. Happy New Year. Be good to each other. Jose, take it away.
Here's what I'm going to say. And I tweeted something.
Hold on.
Oh my God. That cat.
Night. Staring right at you, Jose.
Good Lord.
Night. Blinking.
I think I'm a goner. I think he's after us.
Seriously. Anyway, I'll say this. I said something similar to when I tweeted about comic books a few days ago, and I'll kind of reword it for this. I know when Conor fights, we get a lot of fans that only watch Conor fight, and a lot of MMA fans, they get very protective of the sport that they watch. Like, so I don't want to see any, you didn't watch Jack Hermanson versus Marvin Vettori, then you're not a real MMA fan. You know what? If they want to watch Conor fight, they're a fan. They might not like, they might only watch Conor, but at least they're watching. So I don't want to see any gatekeeping with mixed martial arts in general in January, because you know it happens. We've all seen it. Anything that gets people in the door to watch MMA, I'm fine with. I know a ton of people who got into MMA only because of Conor. And you know what? They stayed. It's not like they left. So no gatekeeping in January. I don't want to see any of it. Let people enjoy what they want to enjoy. And if you disagree with what they say, or they say something that is incorrect, like, oh, I want to see Conor fight Stipe next. Like, just be nice and correct them and say different weight classes. Don't call them names. Let people like what they like, because at the end of the day, they're not affecting your life. And that is how I'm closing 2020. Let people like what they like, as Esther Lynn runs in the background. Anyway, for Jose, that's Alex, that's Mike, that's Casey. We'll see you in 2021. We're out.
Logan Paul, Fighter of the Year, 2021. Yeah. Just saying it, I will be here.
We're going to have a great year.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.